Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, verse 5 and part of verse 6. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. And you know how that goes on. And today we are celebrating the emptiness. And that is the difference between Christianity and every other religion or ism that there ever has been or ever will be. We have emptiness. Think about that. We have emptiness, and we're celebrating it. Looking way, way back, in the Old Testament, the surrounding nations could not understand something about God's people. All the rest of them had statues, idols of their gods that they could see and worship and maybe carry them around and march them up and down the street. But those poor Israelites, they had a god without idol, without statue, without anything. And the most amazing part, and you find this in the ancient writings, the most amazing aspect of the temple in Jerusalem was the emptiness. There in the Holy of Holies, right in the center, above the Ark of the Covenant, there was nothing. No idol. Nothing to see. For the invading armies, nothing to steal. Again, no idol. Because the Israelites worshipped God who is spirit. Modern times, Moscow, Peking, Beijing, other places, they will display the bodies of their heroes and their leaders. This is Illinois. In Springfield, we have the tomb of Abraham Lincoln, and you can go and visit the tomb. And in Jerusalem, we have the tomb of Jesus. There's nothing in it. We've got emptiness. Isn't it marvelous? We Christians are different. We follow a teacher with an empty tomb and we claim that his tomb is empty. Why? Because he rose and is ruling in heaven. And Jesus is right here, present with us, present with you. He is there by your side as your Savior and your Good Shepherd. What we believe about the resurrection of Jesus' body, let's spell it out. He was made alive in the tomb. And then, you know, one of the first people to see the risen Lord Jesus, before Mary Magdalene, one of the first people to see him happens to have been the devil. To his great dismay, as Jesus, risen, glorified, went to declare his victory there to the spirits in prison. And then he appeared to Mary, to the disciples, because Jesus, risen from the dead, has all the power of God and uses that power to be with his people. Still does that to be with his people everywhere, everywhere we are scattered. So, how have you prepared for Easter this year? As the first Easter began, the women were on their way to the tomb to anoint the absolutely awful smelling, decaying body of Jesus. That's what they were on their way to do. Think about that. You had a better Easter, at least in the beginning. They had not even been able to care for his body properly, and so it was a Sabbath of grief and waiting. Waiting for the Sabbath to be over so they could take the spices they had prepared and do for Jesus one last kindness. But they had everything backwards. They had forgotten Jesus' words, so when they got there, they were disturbed that the tomb was open and empty. How often do we get surprised by the promises of God being fulfilled? The disciples, well, they were huddled in fear of the scribes and Pharisees. They'd seen Jesus being betrayed and arrested. They heard the crowd demanding his death. They knew how he'd been beaten, spit on, marched through the streets of Jerusalem, and crucified, and they had fled. They'd forgotten. Jesus spoke his words of victory, "It is finished." And they'd forgotten his promise to rise on the third day. That didn't come to mind like it did for you today. If they had remembered, the disciples might have expected and might have celebrated the glorious emptiness. But when the emptiness was discovered, they were troubled. The priests were worried. They were worried that something would happen. As if the hiding in fear disciples would suddenly become courageous, heroic, and would go and overcome the guards and steal the body of Jesus and carry on with a deception. And so guards were posted and the tomb was sealed. And the soldiers, they'd put the seal on the tomb and were standing guard. They were bravely ready to fend off some fishermen and a tax collector. Working as hard as they could to keep the emptiness from happening. And then all of those preparations, from the preparations of the women to the guards standing guard, all those began to just fall apart. Because one thing, the one thing that nobody expected to happen was an actual resurrection. No one expects an angel in an earthquake to roll away the stone. No one expects an angel and an earthquake and the hand of God unleashing his power and fulfilling promises that had been sitting there for thousands of years. Here's one from the Psalms, Psalm 16. "You will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see decay." No one expected that Jesus, who said that he would be killed and on the third day rise again, would actually do exactly what he had promised. But God is the one who says, "Not by might or by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord." So in fact, the might and the power of the soldiers, that fades to ridiculous insignificance before the word of the Son of God in his rising. They're simply spectators and witnesses to the fact. The objections of the priests and Pharisees, those are swept aside. And all their interpretations of what to expect from God have turned out to be so completely misguided that they are legendary. And the fear of the disciples, well, that provides a wonderful background and contrast, and we are able to say, this is only by the hand of God. They and we have nothing to bring to this incredible event. All our efforts to be ready for God, they're nothing but emptiness. Wonderful, glorious emptiness. Because we do not want any human effort or human pretending, but only the hand of God doing the work of salvation. As one of the songs says, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. So there was a wonderful surprise waiting, and as they arrived at the tomb, it would not be at all what they expected. The stone rolled away, an angel sitting on it, guards shaking in fear, and a message. He is not here. Followed by, he has risen just as he said. There's a little bit more, but right now. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Well, there is more to come. We will celebrate emptiness. We will. When this virus is over, we will go out of our houses and we will celebrate the emptiness of a home with nobody there as we go around and move freely once again. We are confined, but remember, today is a day of remembering that Jesus would not be confined to the tomb. There's more. The living Jesus will return, and we will leave empty all the old things that we may have been hanging on to, leaving all of that behind, heading into the new, the glorious new creation of God. Like the voice from the throne says in the tail end of the book of Revelation, behold, I am making all things new. And we will look back on our graves and on the grave of every believer in Jesus, and they will be wonderfully empty. Started wondering last night, when the time comes, if I am not here at the return of Jesus, if I have been laid in the grave, will I rise from the grave, look back on it, and say, Easter! Yes! I'm just wondering. I try to make plans for that day. Wonder if I'll remember. But for right now, once again, we are celebrating. We're celebrating the emptiness of the tomb, and we are celebrating the emptiness of the grave that will come at the end. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.